Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. Your conference will begin momentarily. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. Your conference will begin momentarily. Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Marketing for Accessibility, Tips and Tools for Hospitality Industry. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, you may press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Ms. Marion Vessels. You may begin.
Good morning and good afternoon for everyone across the country, depending on your time frame. We welcome you to the ADA Audio Conference Series. My name is Marion Vessels, and I will be serving as a moderator for this session. This program is brought to you by the ADA National Network. The ADA Audio Conference Series is offered monthly and covers a variety of topics. As the operator indicated, today's session is titled Marketing for Accessibility, Tips and Tools for the Hospitality Industry. I am pleased to be joined today with two colleagues from the Northeast ADA Center, Mr. Don Brandon and Ms. Sarah Woody. I will be introducing them as their portion of the training comes about. Individuals are joining us today using a variety of mediums, including telephone streaming, audio on the Internet, and real-time captioning. Individuals may also view today's PowerPoint presentation online. Refer to the instructions that were mailed to you for the URL. A written transcript of the session will be created, edited, and posted to www.ada-audio.org website, along with a digital recording of the session within 10 business days following the conclusion of the program. Our presenters today will provide us with some valuable information, and at the conclusion of our presentations, there will be a final opportunity for everyone to ask questions. We will also be taking questions after each separate presenter. The operator will provide instruction when we're ready to take questions. Depending on the number of questions, we may not be able to address all of your issues or concerns today. If we're not able to, we encourage you to follow up with your questions to your regional ADA center by calling 1-800-949-4232, both voice and TTY. Okay. I will now begin my portion of the presentation. My name is Marion Vessels, and I am the director of the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center, a DIBTAC, one of the 10 regional ADA centers that comprises the ADA National Network. Our center is a program of Transcend, Inc., and we're located in Rockville, Maryland. I've been serving in this role since 1996, so I'm finishing up my 15 years. And I am the liaison with businesses, employers, hospitality venues, and the disability coalitions in the Mid-Atlantic ADA region, which is Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Delaware, West Virginia, and D.C. among some of my roles and expertise is training and technical assistance in employment, hospitality, and in government sectors. Previous to this, I was the executive director of the Maryland Governor's Committee on Employment of People with Disabilities, and I was director of the Maryland Governor's Office for Individuals with Disabilities. I've served as the executive board member of the President's Committee on Employment of People with Disabilities many years ago, and I'm on the board of the Parents Place of Maryland. Without further ado, I would like to start by starting our presentation and talking about ways that you can be marketing to people with disabilities. Next slide, please. This program is being brought to you in conjunction with a national initiative that the ADA National Network developed, and it's called Hospitality and Disability. This initiative is reaching out to the hospitality industry, both the lodging and restaurant industry, to encourage the incorporation of people with disabilities as guests and customers and as employees. This is a multi-phase, multi-pronged approach, talking about public relations initiatives, disability etiquette, ADA information, site survey information, and a multi-faceted approach that we're looking at doing online training, remote training, and on-site training as well. Why should you care about incorporating people with disabilities into the hospitality arena? The General Accounting Office of the U.S. government reports that the hospitality and hotel industry received a 12% revenue increase just by implementing access provisions of the Americans with Disabilities Act. We will be discussing more in depth this afternoon about some of those provisions that will be coming into play by March 15th, 2012. That will be another opportunity for you to include people with disabilities into your marketing strategy. Okay, I skipped over real quickly a feature of the webinar. If you're going to be using closed caption, please click CC icon on top of your screen or Control F8 and adjust your screen. If you have questions, type and submit questions in the chat area text box or press Control M and enter text into that chat. Please don't use emoticons or hand-raising features during this session. Okay. Open Doors Organization and Harris Interactive have both done studies together that were conducted in 2002, and at that time, it was stated that adults with disabilities spent approximately $13.6 billion annually on travel. That's 13.6 with a B. It's a huge amount of money in travel. In talking to hospitality venues, most often they'll say that we don't really need to focus on this industry or this segment of the population because, you know, they really don't have a lot of money to spend. You know, most of them are on Social Security or on disability. Suggested revenues from this market could easily double if certain needs were met and obstacles were removed. Next slide. A follow-up study from that in 2002 was done in 2005, and that showed that travel by people with disabilities increased 50% in 2 years, and more than 21 million adults with disabilities traveled for pleasure and or business in 2004. Again, many people with disabilities are presumed not to be working, and for many, it is unemployment is a huge factor. But there still are many of us that, and I am a person using a wheelchair, who happened to be doing this teleconference from a hotel this afternoon in preparation for a training that I'm currently in. So I am in a hotel very frequently and need the accessibility features. If many of these barriers were removed, it would be much easier for me to travel more frequently and with less concerns. A majority, 60% of those barriers were reported by people with disabilities. And those were physical, customer service, or communication during their stay. Okay. 3 out of 5 hotel users report that they encountered obstacles. 3 out of 5, that's a huge number. And some of the things that they reported on were that the doors were way too heavy or hard to open. And there's easy strategies for being able to loosen the door pressure on many doors very easily that not only affects somebody with a mobility impairment, but with arthritis, difficulty in grasping, poor body mechanics, a number of things. Many times there's not enough turning radius in a hotel bathroom for somebody using a mobility device. 20% reported that. And inaccessible shower or bath areas where there wasn't a grab bar, there weren't shower chairs or benches accessible for somebody to be able to use the bathing areas. Some of the barriers found at hotels were also service personnel. Next slide. So some of that is lack of availability to convenient rooms, such as having a convenient room on the first floor. Next slide. There you go. I'm sorry, go back one. I missed it. Service personnel weren't really aware of the services, and these are things that can be addressed in the new regulations. So if you called and said, I need an accessible room that needs to be close to the elevator, I want 2 double beds, and a roll-in shower. Many times hotel personnel were unable to provide that kind of information and were unable to describe the features that existed. And that was really a challenging thing for many people in trying to schedule a visit to a different city or in a different hotel. I found that recently trying to get an accessible room with a roll-in shower, and the only room they had available was queen, and I needed 2 double beds. And they were unwilling to change beds, so I had to go somewhere else. Communication-related obstacles are also a huge barrier. Many times people report 15% that they had difficulty communicating with hotel personnel. Somebody with a speech disability, someone who was hard of hearing or deaf, related that they had a difficult time trying to communicate. Front desk personnel and others were unfamiliar with how to write notes back and forth and what disability etiquette prevailed, knowing that it's okay to tap somebody on the shoulder if they were deaf to get their attention. Things, very simple and easy strategies, were uncomfortable in doing so, and many times did not reach out to the guest with a communication disability in order to communicate effectively with them. I would like now to introduce my colleague, Don Brandon. But before I do so, I'd like to see, Norma, if you can open up the phones and see if anybody has any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you would like to remove yourself from the queue, you may press the pound key. Again, at this time, on the phone lines, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touchtone telephone. At this time, I'm currently showing no questions in queue.
Terrific. Okay. I would like now to introduce my colleague, Don Brandon. Don is the director of the Northwest ADA Center and is recognized as a highly effective facilitator of civil rights trainings for managers and supervisors in businesses of all size and from a huge cross-section of industries. Don has worked with several universities and state and local governments, as well as rehabilitation programs for professionals. His training is for managers and supervisors actively working with employees who have had workers' compensation or family medical leave claims or ADA requests. For the last 16 years, Mr. Brandon has demonstrated a real gift for designing, accommodating, and making recommendations that have saved employers thousands of dollars in litigation and accommodation costs. Don's down-to-earth style and comprehensive grasp of business management mark his training sessions with a high note of confidence that participants can rely on long after the training has ended. He initiated the Farthest North Independent Living Center with Access Alaska in 1984, and he served as Assistant Director of Programs at the Hawaii Independent Living Center. He served as the ADA Coordinator and Affirmative Action Officer for the University of Alaska and was serving as the Alaska State ADA Coordinator prior to working for CCRC Northwest ADA Center. I'd now like to turn the session over to Mr. Don Brandon.
Well, thank you, Marion. One of the things that I think is exciting about having a chance to visit with you all today is to describe some of the reasons why we wanted to do this and talking about tips and tricks for marketing yourself more effective to the community of people with disabilities. And in the course of doing that, we thought it was going to be, it should be important to also describe to you some of just the highlight features that apply to hotels. Now, this doesn't cover everything, or it doesn't go into great detail about exactly the specifics. Just picked out some highlight areas just to sort of bring your attention to some things that will be changing with the new 2010 standards when they become the only thing you can work with after March 15th of 2012. Now, our first slide, we have a graphic picture of a door swinging into a toilet room. Now, historically, in the 1991 standards, bathroom doors or bathroom stall doors for accessible stalls or restrooms, you didn't have the luxury of an in-swinging door. They all had to be out-swinging. And the big reason for that is because they didn't want people to be hit by the doors, or oftentimes when the door would swing in, there wasn't enough clear floor space to make transfers and that type of thing. Under the new 2010 standards, if you make a larger toilet room or a larger toilet stall, you can have an in-swinging door as long as there's enough clear floor space, 30 by 48 inches, to get out of the way of the door when it swings in. On the slide, it says an accessible single-user toilet rooms will require more space for transfers. That's really not exactly accurate. It's really going to require more space for an in-swinging door if more clear floor space when your door swings in. And you'll notice down at the bottom, we have a website listed for you. It's one that it's a webinar that was put on by the U.S. Access Board, in which they go into a lot more detail about some of the requirements for toilet rooms and that type of thing. And I'm not going to give you the whole long list of how to get there, but it is on your slide and in your handouts. Next slide, please. One of the things that's going to be a characteristic for hotels to pay attention to is when you make an alteration or add a new swimming pool, because you're going to have to also require a means of accessibility into the water itself. And if you have a swimming pool that's over 300 linear feet along a pool wall, you're going to be required to have two accessible means of entry. In other words, you'll have to have probably a pool lift or a ramp or a transfer area, sort of like a stair-step transfer area into the pool. Now, if you're less than 300 linear feet of pool wall, it requires only one way of getting it, means of getting entry, either with a lift or with a sloped entry. And another caveat of the lift itself, you can only use these lifts in the end of the pool that's 48 inches, where the depth is 48 inches. Anything more than that, you couldn't put it in those locations. Next slide, please. One of the other characteristics that's new to the 2010 standards is that exercise machines will need to be on an accessible route surrounded by enough clear floor space to make transfers or to use exercise equipment itself. But there's not a requirement that the exercise equipment necessarily be designed specifically for people with disabilities or be the operable parts be accessible, but you do need to have an accessible route to get there and a clear floor space beside each type of accessible element that is located in your exercise rooms. And so these, this graphic pictures of some, like a weight bench, a running area, as well as some other types of devices that are a little more, show a little more usage for people who would sit down and exercise their legs. Or there's even one, and this is an ideal one, that has a clear floor space where if you're a wheelchair user, you could sit at a place and just use the portion for your upper body. Also on the graph is a kit that the Hilton Hotels has put together, and it shows a an exercise ball, some elastic bands that you can use, and some other devices that you can use, like a yoga mat and that type of thing, located in the sort of like an exercise kit. It's called an in-room kit. One of the things I want to continue to bring to your attention, each one of these slides has located at the bottom of it a web link to the specific webinar that that has some of these graphics and other and more in-depth information located in them. Next slide, please. One of the things that is new in the 2010 standards also is that if you provide a kitchenette, there has to be a work area beside that's accessible. In other words, you have to have knee clearances and clear floor space underneath it, which means that workspace is going to have to be no more than 34 inches high off the clear off the finished floor, and then at least 30 inches wide, and with the ability to for a forward approach. No matter what other elements in there may not have that those same types of accessible features, the clear the workspace areas will have to have that. And in addition, the washer and we're showing a washer and dryer in this slide that shows that normally things within the reach ranges have to be at 34 inches, but washers, top-loading washers can be at 36 inches, as well as front-loading washers can have a minimum height of 15 inches, located between 15 and 36 inches. Next slide, please. In this slide, we're showing that there's going to also be a new standard, standard probably not the right word. There's going to be a new caveat for rooms that have communication features located in them. In other words, what the 2010 standards are going to require is that there be more rooms with communication features and that they not all be located in the wheelchair accessible rooms or rooms that have were designed for people with mobility limitations. Historically, they put all of the accessible features in the rooms designed for accessibility, and there were, as we've 20 years later, after they were discovering that there's a lot of competition for accessible rooms and communication rooms, and the population of people that are deaf or hard of hearing is much larger than the number of people with mobility limitations that use walkers or wheelchairs or crutches and that type of thing. And so the Department of Justice and the Access Board have come up with a new table for communication rooms, and only 10% of these rooms can be co-located in rooms that were designed to be for people with mobility limitations. Next slide, please. Now, one of the things that we could not find was a good picture of an accessible sauna. So in our graphic, we show four people in their towels doing the conga, and we're pretty convinced that this size sauna would be but have the clear floor spaces and the turning radius as needed. You had at least four people doing the conga together. But what we're really trying to emphasize is that your saunas and steam rooms have to be accessible, and that if you have benches and that type of thing in your sauna rooms, that they may also use the clear floor space needed for transferring or turning radiuses. And one of the components of that is that they have to be movable. If you use benches or seats that are in those areas, so that when a person with a disability needs to have the accessible features, they can be moved out and easily usable. Next slide. Another key feature in the 2010 standards that's going to be applicable by March 15th of 2012 is that when you make reservations, you're going to have the hotels are going to be have to require are required to have the reservations on that they do online available at the same times for people with disabilities as they're available to anybody else. And so it's going to make, if you have a 24/7 online reservation system, that also has to be accessible to people with disabilities. And it also has to have features where you describe the accessible features of your guest rooms and the accessible features of your hotels. Another characteristic of the online reservation system is that hotels are required, and there's very clear language now that says that they're required to hold back the guest rooms for people with disabilities until all other guest rooms of that type have been reserved. One of the reasons for that is that oftentimes hotels will sell their accessible rooms to the on a first-come, first-served basis to anybody who shows up, and they're mixed in with all the other rooms. And what the ADA is requiring is that you hold back those rooms, and they be the last rooms that be released so that a person with a disability could spontaneously come into a hotel and rent a room and have some assurance that if any rooms are left, the ones that would be left would be the ones that would be accessible and usable for them. And it's just a key feature of good customer service, because you really want to use your accessible rooms for what they were designed for. Next slide, please. In this slide, it's a little bit hard to read, but if you really sort of look closely, we have an example of a hotel's website where they described some of their accessible features, and but the information they give is kind of limited, because it just says meets ADA regulations, and it doesn't necessarily go into much detail about what that means. Next slide, please. This one's slightly different, where they have a little more information about some of the amenities in the room, and they sort of divided it up into things for your comfort, things for your convenience, and things for your confidence. And under some of the comfort features, they say it's accessible. They have talk about levered door hardware and that type of thing. And for convenience, they talk about being able to plug your phone in at a desk height, which gives you some sense that they're thinking about the reach ranges are in an accessible room. And they have a picture of an accessible toilet room in this graphic and in this website as well. But it really doesn't give you enough specific information about what that I would be looking for as a wheelchair user traveling to this hotel to give me more information. So even though they're making an attempt to say it's accessible and meets the ADA regulations and stuff like that, it's still not quite providing the level of information that as a customer I'd be more interested in. Next slide, please. This is an example of a hotel that really goes into detail that is much more communicable to me or to the community of people with disabilities. It talks about, I thought was kind of interesting. It says it has two peepholes on the door, which is not an ADA requirement, but it does describe that they have two peepholes, which means one is at a location where you could look out and see who's there. It does say it does have door locks that are located 48 inches above the floor. Other features, too, it talks about the guest and guest room and guest bathroom doors that are have a three-foot opening. It also talks about things like the wands that open and close the curtains are available and what reach ranges they're at. It talks about knee clearances under the desks. It talks about having televisions that have remote controls on them, and talks about some of the details of the accessible restroom, saying that they all have transfer heights that are 17 to 19 inches, and that the piping is covered and insulated, and that the sink controls can be easily operated with a closed fist. So this is really a really good example of one hotel's description of an ADA-compliant room, and provides much better information for me as the customer. Next, please. The 2010 regulations also identify and describe accessible and non-accessible features in a hotel guest room. What the requirements say is that you have to do it in enough detail to reasonably permit people with disabilities to access independently, whether the given hotel room or guest meets his whether it meets their needs specifically or not. One of the things we're trying to get at in the regulations is it gives three key features of what needs to be described: the room type, a number of beds, like for instance, a deluxe executive suite, stuff like that; the communication features for visual alarms and notification devices; and the type of bathing facility, like a bathtub with grab bars, or whether it has a roll-in shower or a transfer-type shower. And these are important elements in knowing about the basic minimums that the Department of Justice requires in describing your accessible features. Next slide, please. Some of the examples that we're recommending that you describe in your guest room would be your door width, maneuvering spaces, room, and in the guest room. Oftentimes, in the guest room itself, they put so much furniture in there, you lose your accessible route, or you don't have access to key features like the temperature control device or the ability to close curtains and that type of thing. So, describing your closet space and that it has lowered closet bars to hang your clothes. Curtain wands is a real important feature. Bed height is also one that's pretty important, because a lot of hotels are going to these higher bed heights, and they put them in all of the rooms, even their accessible rooms, where they really need to have rooms that are much more user-friendly to people making a transfer from a wheelchair or a motorized chair. And it becomes really important that that bed height be described. Notification alarms, large print audio recordings of hotel services, room service menus that are accessible either via a recording or in Braille, information on the TV channels. One of the things I tell them to do is if they have a hotel channel, is that they, on their hotel channel, they also describe the accessible features of their hotel, because it really helps get information out to more and more people about where things are located, and which ones are accessible, and which ones that the hotel is cognizant of as for their guests. And also another important one that is information about emergency exits. And so if you're orienting someone who's blind to a room or to your hotel, it becomes important to describe to them specifically where the emergency exits are located, because they're in a strange place and would need that kind of information in the event of an emergency. Next slide, please. And this is just a slide that talks about accessible features on the hotel property itself. Things like accessible parking, lowered counters at the check-in, carpet thickness. What we're trying to say, we don't necessarily need to have you go around and measure the thickness, but talking about low pile versus high pile carpet, so that people won't lose, so that the carpet doesn't provide a lot of rolling resistance for people that use wheelchairs, and that they won't be sinking into them if they're using mobility devices like walkers and crutches like that, and stuff like that. Also, if you have other amenities like your gym, your business center, your meeting rooms, and your restaurant, ensuring that information about their accessibility is there. And another key feature that oftentimes is one of the last things to be dealt with is the complementary transportation. So if you offer to pick up service from the airport to the hotel, you have to offer something complementary that's accessible to people with disabilities as well. And so if your hotel van is not lift-equipped, having some other plan of action about making sure that people with mobility limitations can use the transportation is also another key feature. Next slide, please. Okay. One of the things that becomes kind of a frustration for a lot of folks who travel with disabilities is when the staff who are providing check-in for the guests really don't have any information or any understanding about the difference between a room that has an accessible room that has a bathtub or an accessible room that has a roll-in shower, or rooms that have communication features in them. And so it becomes important that you train your staff on those features so that they know the differences between the different types of rooms and that they communicate respectfully with guests with physical or even intellectual disabilities as they're checking in. Next slide, please. And Marian, this is where we kick it back to you.
Right. And operator, I'd like to open the phones for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you would like to remove yourself from the queue, you may press the pound key. Our first question comes from Gary Adler. Your line is open.
Go ahead, Ryan. Hello, how are you?
Hi, sir.
My name is Ryan Jackson. I got probably about 3 questions. When I'm in a wheelchair and when I make my reservations online or over the phone and I request an accessible room and then when I get there, there's no accessible rooms available, what do you do?
Well, what the hotel is required to do is to sort of guarantee that that's an accessible room like they would anybody else that has a room, because they're supposed to hold them back specifically for you. If that is not available for you, then there's a couple of different approaches you can take. You can ask the hotel to, and some of the better hotels do this. I've checked into a hotel once, and they didn't have the accessible room that they had promised me, but they provided me transportation to a hotel nearby that did have accessible features, and they comped me for the room because of the inconvenience. But that's the customer service side of it. But talking to the management about what alternatives are available is one thing that can be done. Also, whatever the local jurisdiction is, you know, there's nothing that says you can't file a complaint when that type of thing happens, because their policy and procedure needs to be corrected. Or writing them a letter sometimes will get that policy and procedure corrected without even going through the complaint process. But, you know, the complaint process is there to deal with those types of issues when a hotel makes an error like that.
This was a major hotel, and this was in Las Vegas, and their solution was that I should stay in a non-accessible room until the next day when they were going to have an accessible room available. And the next day they did, on the first floor. And outside of my window was the dumpsters for the hotel. So I wasn't happy with their solution at all.
Right.
The next thing has to do with compliant rooms. And this might be more for architects than anything. I worked 30 years in the construction industry. and I'm still having a hard time with some of these things. One of them is the door to the accessible room. A lot of times you need two hands in order to open the door. You got to put your card in, you got to grab the lever and pull the lever down to get in the room. Well, a lot of people with disabilities can't do that. They don't have the use of both of their hands to be able to lean out and do that. Second one is, you have listed on here that wall switches are 42 inches high, which is great, but don't forget about wall outlets, because I need to plug my power chair in, and if that outlet is 18 inches above the floor and behind the nightstand, that doesn't do me any good either. Then the third thing is in shower, is to have some type of flexible hose on the shower. So either on a rod that goes up vertically that I could be lowered, or a hose that I could take out that I could hold.
Yeah.
Because
what
that shower head, pardon?
One of the things, you're exactly right. You're going into a level of detail that we didn't have time to go into. Those are key features. As far as the operable reach ranges and that kind of stuff, because you're exactly right, the flexible shower heads and all that kind of stuff are one of the things that the ADA requires. But we're just trying to hit things at sort of a 10,000-foot level, not really drilling down into the very specifics of it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Daryl Christensen. Your line is open.
Hi, my name is Jean Marie Kim from Phoenix. I just want to know the standard for swimming pools and fitness centers, are they for new centers and pools or modified pools, and are those requirements mainly for hotels, or is it common areas for, let's say, a conference area or a condo or apartment or...
Right. Great question. The pool requirement, let's start with what I remember. The first part of your question was it's for anything that's altered or new construction. And the second part of your question was, what about conference centers and that type of thing? And we're sort of referring to things that are covered by Title III of the ADA. There can be occasions where conference centers can be owned by a state or local government or a city, or they have pools and they have requirements very similar to the ones that we're describing here.
But
with a different threshold for program compliance versus readily achievable barrier removal. You also mentioned apartments and condos and that kind of thing. They also are covered, but it depends upon how they're used. It's not because fair housing really does refer more to apartments, but if a condo is being used a lot like a hotel gets used, where you rent it for so many days and then somebody else comes in and uses it for so many days, then the requirements for accessibility and stuff like that would begin to apply in those instances as well, for altered or new construction.
Okay, thank you.
And one of our fellow employees at the office has a question here. Can he ask his question now, or do you want us to get back into the queue?
Why don't you answer? We'll answer that question. We have one online, and then we'll get back to the material. And if there's any more, you can ask it at the end of the session. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kenneth, and I was wondering, when y'all opened up the session, y'all was talking about the amount of money that they were receiving and how much it had doubled. Is there anything to make the hotel industry to be accountable for that money as far as taxable or anything like that, or is that just extra money that they didn't figure on, and now it's, you know, obviously it's increased?
Well, our goal is to show the industry that complying with the law not only is, you know, legal thing to do, but there's a real financial incentive to reaching out to the disability market and not only complying with the law, but advertising that they are. And we'll give you some examples further on in this training about one hotel system that does just that. So we're hoping that they'll want to do it in order to show that increased revenue, which is the bottom line for any profit-making business. We do have a question online that said, since I've already said that I'm a person in a wheelchair and I'm in a hotel right now, how would I rate the hotel? And actually, it's a hotel we've used before, and it's in pretty good shape. I would rate the room 9 out of 10. It's very, very comfortable, very accommodating. Everything is appropriately placed and within good reach and range. Even though we've mentioned it before, I noticed in the front, though, that the van accessible space is not van accessible. It's a standard accessible space with a smaller access aisle. So that is something that we will reiterate again with them. So even when a hotel does try, sometimes they don't actually do a great job of it, and you need to keep reminding them of the smaller details. I'd like to get back to the PowerPoint now. We're on slide 23, and this is showing you our new hospitality and disability website that we hoped would be up and functioning today, but there's a few little glitches, so it won't be totally functioning for maybe another day or two. The new URL will be www.adahospitality.org, and on this website, you will find tremendous number of resources, including the new regulations, all of the legal precedents for Department of Justice suing hotels for their lack of accessibility, training programs that can be downloaded for both hotel and restaurant industries and can be used by anyone, industries or advocates in assisting the industry in becoming more accessible, disability etiquette tools and tips, tax credits and deductions, fact sheets. One that we have up there now is on a shower bench and what the standard should be, et cetera. So there's lots and lots of great resources, and it's still not functioning correctly today, but we invite you to come and visit it in the next few days, and hopefully we'll continue to use it as a resource. Next slide. One of the trainings that we have on there is hotel customer service in the ADA. The hotel that I'm currently in, we offered this training, and they sent every single staff person. We did a full day of training. This training can be done in an hour. This is a training that you can download and use yourself. And we did a series of 6 back-to-back trainings, which included everyone from groundskeepers to the chef, to the general manager, front desk staff, and the supervisors of the maids and cleaning crew. So it was very exciting, and to show, we were pleased to see after when we came back a year later that one of the bellmen came up and said he was so excited he was able to use the training and was able to assist somebody who was blind to find their way through the hotel. And it's a really large hotel and lots of empty space, which makes it a little more challenging to navigate. And he said he felt very comfortable. In the past, he would never have approached them about how to give them his elbow and walk them through, and he was just so excited. So it was a great validation of how effective the training can be. Next slide. One of the things, this is an example of one of the slides in that training that talks about guests who are blind or have low vision, and it provides tips about providing information and alternate formats, how you can read, you know, the menu or a hotel document to the guest, showing the guest, as this bellman did, around the lobby to their room, and other features such as the exercise room or the pool that they may want to visit. showing them some simple things like how do you sign your name, where it is on the guest check or the registration forms. Even something as simple as, for many of us, it can be a challenge getting our key card in the door. As was mentioned, for somebody with a mobility impairment, can you imagine somebody with a visual impairment that doesn't know which side is up or down and which side needs to go into the key lock, that clipping the edge of a key card is a very simple and easy way so folks know which corner goes into the top left corner of the key reader in their room. Some I've noticed now actually have Braille, and it tells you which side up and which side goes in. Some others have put a strip of tape on it. So there's a variety of ways that will assist somebody who has a vision disability to be able to use their room. Next slide. I mentioned that we have fact sheets, and one of the fact sheets is for a removable tub seat or transfer bench. For those of us with mobility disabilities, having the ability to have a transfer bench and even a bathtub setting that may be accessible, but the configuration is not accessible for us, this becomes the best way for us to be able to transfer safely into a roll-in shower or a standard tub. And you can see in the picture to the right, one of the things we recommend are a suction cup so that the chair doesn't walk as you're transferring, that it has a, both a left and right feature so it can go into many different configurations of bathtubs or shower situations, that it has a back. We find that the shower stools that many hotels provide are incredibly unsafe. They have no back. They're not designed for a tub that may be rolled edges, etc. And this allows, with the edge going outside the tub, a safe transfer area. And the back provides stability as well as the other grab bar on the arm. Next slide. We talked about tax credits and tax deductions. Tax deductions for a hotel can be very important. If they are modifying their facility, let's say that they realize that the parking space that I indicated that they didn't have a true van accessible spot. They had the sign, but not the striping correct. If they needed to redo their whole parking lot because they had done it inappropriately, they might be able to use this tax deduction to remove barriers. Let's say that in their lobby bathroom, they didn't have a fully accessible stall and needed to take out an extra stall and make a fully accessible stall. So they can combine all these projects and apply every tax year for a deduction up to $15,000. This also is not just in removing barriers, but as Don mentioned earlier, for providing that accessible van shuttle to and from the airport, or if they do it to local businesses in the area, that this would go to purchasing an accessible van with a lift that could be accessible for a variety of people with different kinds of disabilities. And there's information on the website about how to access those tax credits. Again, this is a very nice carrot for a hotel. It doesn't apply when they're renovating and doing the whole hotel or redoing all their rooms, but if they're going in and specifically addressing barriers, this is a great way to do that. Okay. Operator, do you want to see if we have any quick questions?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from Matt Norris. Your line is open. Matt Norris, your line is open.
Yes, our question had to do with the previous section. We were wondering if they could describe a little bit more about the requirements for communication features.
Sure, we can do that. Communication features have to do with emergency equipment that is located in a room for fire alarms with the strobes and the horns necessary to alert people to an emergency. Other communication equipment would have to do with communicating over the telephone from a guest room to the front desk, either via TTY. But it also would include anything that's communicated for people who have visual limitations. So any brochures and that type of thing would need to be in an accessible format available for them as well. And those are just sort of the highlights of them. There's a lot more detail about, like, you know, what pitch levels the audible tones have to be at and that kind of thing. But you know, those are sort of the highlights of them.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Bob Thompson. Your line is open.
Yes, this is Bob in Greenville, North Carolina. We have done some work with our local hotel motel association, especially dealing with low vision opportunities, and we've had some real good success about changing out light bulbs because they're always so dim. And especially the bulb over the door where the evacuation explanation is for fire. And we've had them enlarge those and also enlarge the remote control and also the telephone keypad so that people with low vision can see those. And it's been very, very beneficial.
Great. Those are some great examples. Also, you know, another key feature for communication is making sure that your television has closed captioning operable, and so that you have more of a modern TV, basically.
But if you can't read your remote to find it.
I was agreeing with you, Bob.
And that's been very, very helpful. But also, there's some responsibility back to persons with disabilities. I always ask, can you please explain to me what the procedures are in case we have a fire? And we've seen some, as a matter of fact, I was in a hotel where we were having a convention dealing with the ADA, and they had escalators and all that, and the convention was on the second mezzanine, and escalators would help everybody, but you could only get one wheelchair in their elevator. And if a fire had broken out, it would have been bad news bears. But there are a lot of times people that do conventions for people with disabilities, they put us in places that it's a fire trap.
Yeah. Bob, did you have a question that we could deal with?
Well, I was just concerned because I've never seen much being done with addressing the low vision situation in any of the literature and things.
Bob, this is Marion. On the new hospitality website in the future, we do have emergency evacuation section there now, and we will be enhancing that in the future. So you may want to check back, and we will eventually be putting up more and more information on emergency evacuation as well. Okay?
Good. Thank you very much.
I would now like to introduce our next speaker. Sarah Woody is the coordinator for the Northwest ADA Center's Blue Path program, an online membership and marketing program that works proactively with businesses and customers with disabilities to encourage access and usability. The Blue Path website is a directory that promotes user-friendly businesses and provides information on their accessible features. Sarah surveys facilities for accessibility, provides technical assistance, and educates businesses about barriers and alternative accessibility features. Sarah's a passionate person about disability issues and serves as president for the Mental Health Action, a nonprofit advocacy organization. She also serves on the Seattle Commission for People with Disabilities. Sarah worked for 7 years at the Village Integrated Services Agency in Long Beach, California, training mental health professionals, law enforcement, policymakers, students, consumers, and community members on best practices in mental health recovery. Sarah?
Thank you, Marion. I hope everyone can hear me okay. I have spent the last few years here at the Northwest ADA Center learning about marketing and learning how to put on my ADA goggles when I go out into the community to start noticing businesses and the accessible features they offer. So I've had a high learning curve, and I hope that allows me to talk with businesses in a way where, you know, they're often on a learning curve as well to learn about these types of things. So on the next slide, slide 29, what I have here is just a screenshot of the website that Marion mentioned that we're going to be talking about. It's called Blue Path. And it says right there at the top that Blue Path is about businesses committed to accessibility. You can probably tell right away that it's a business directory. And so when you click on any one of these Blue Path member businesses, you learn about the usability of that business based on such things like accessible parking, accessible routes, accessible restrooms, signage, and services provided to those with mobility or sensory disabilities. On this website, you can write reviews and rate these features as well. So I'll show you some examples, but first, let me explain Blue Path more, because this could be a complementary tool for the requirement of posting pictures and accessible features on your website, specifically for hotels. So Blue Path is a marketing program developed here at the Northwest ADA Center, and it's designed to engage businesses on the topic of accessibility in a way that makes sense to them, basically more customers. Blue Path is about proactive barrier removal and facility assessment that earns the business membership on the Blue Path website, where they will then be marketed to a targeted audience, that being people with disabilities, and beyond that market, the family and friends of people with disabilities who typically accompany them when they go out to eat, go on vacation, go to the movies, or go shopping. Blue Path allows us to talk to businesses about this valuable market in a way that we've been talking about already this morning, and talking about a return on investment. Blue Path's primary goal is to create more information online as well about the access it places a business so that people with mobility or sensory disabilities have more choices than they may be aware of when they want to go out into the community. Often people go to the same restaurants or stay at the same hotel chain because they've learned by trial and error what places have good and bad access. But with the Blue Path website, for example, your hotel, you can provide detailed information about the accessibility that you have to offer a guest so that they can expand their options and know before they go. And we like to say at Blue Path, the more that know, the more can go. So on the next slide, just a bit more information. There's the website. It's www.blue-path.com. And what we want to do is encourage businesses to remove barriers and improve cross-disability access. And I think that this is our goal based on a lot of the questions that we've heard already, that even if there are not physical barriers, there's still lots of little things that a hotel can do to increase their hospitality to guests. So one of the tools that Blue Path has on the website is a checklist. And a business can complete this as a self-assessment of their building, or they can contract with us or a local Blue Path partner to do this survey. And this survey is like the application for membership. And we have a technical assistance team that does a review of the checklist and then provides back to the business a detailed report about the elements and features that should be changed or improved. And what we really try to do is outline how to make the changes and provide solutions and affordable alternatives, because we know that it can be really confusing or seem overwhelming. So in the report, we try to make it very easy for the business to put those changes in place. Blue Path provides tools to evaluate the physical access and educate on disability-focused customer service. So just like the Disability and Hospitality website, we link to that site. We also have some of our own information online. Besides the checklist, we also have fact sheets videos and articles that can provide a business with tips and industry information on how to serve guests with disabilities. We inform customers, like I was mentioning, about the access that they'll find. And the way we do that is we call the details describing those features priorities. And so you can describe how usable your hotel is. And that's your chance to engage customers with what you are trying to do to make their stay more comfortable. And we named the program Blue Pass because we realized that businesses have to learn about providing access. And it's an ever-changing process. And just like, Marion was describing her particular situation, and we had some other callers describing what they encounter when they go to a hotel, there's so many different possibilities. So you as a hotel manager or maintenance supervisor, step onto the path with us and make a commitment to learn what you can and make changes when you can. So given there are no major barriers at your hotel, this commitment can earn you membership and a spot in the spotlight in our website, and your chance to be right in front of the disability market when it comes time for them to choose a hotel for their travels. The next slide. I know that this is hard to read, so I hope you go to our website and check it out, but this is a screenshot example of a Blue Pass member profile. So it shows the date that the survey was completed. And then there in the middle, it has a list of Blue Pass priorities. And it really provides the guests with a comprehensive idea of what to expect when they arrive at the hotel. They describe parking options. They even warn guests that their ramp was recently damaged. And I actually remember when I did the survey at this hotel, somebody had just backed into it. So they actually put that information up there and let people know that it's being repaired. The hotel says that their guest room doors are heavy, so they recognize that. And I know we had a caller mention that. But here on the website, they can tell you as a customer or a potential guest that they realize that and they're working to reduce the tension on the doors to make them lighter. They even mention that they are installing full-length mirrors in their lobby restroom because they discovered the current mirrors are mounted too high. And then down at the bottom, towards the bottom of the screen, they describe the guest room. And that says, accessible rooms provide lowered clothing bar, shelf, towel bar, hair dryer, and iron. Visual notification lights for doorbell and phones. TTY phones are available. Roll-in shower is 58 inches but has all other requirements. So here I just want to note that the roll-in shower is supposed to be a bit larger, and so they put the actual requirement so that somebody, if they know that they need more space, would realize that maybe this isn't the room or can make prior arrangements. It describes that the tub has a folding seat and requirements, and then they say if you need any assistance with moving furniture in the rooms, please just let our staff know. So they're advertising their accessible features, but notice that they are also advertising that their staff will be available and welcoming to provide any further assistance if needed. And that is a great open door for people with disabilities. Let's see, on the next slide, slide 32, this is kind of the bottom page. I'm sorry I can't show you the whole website page or screen, but this is another example of a different business. And on their profile, you can see that you can also post pictures. And again, this is requirements, the new requirements for the ADA, so this tool just happens to complement that requirement. So another example, you can describe your restaurant, if your hotel has a restaurant, and your conference rooms as well. And like I said, you can post pictures, and it's really valuable for somebody to see the space in the roll-in shower and see the lowered closet bar so they know they won't be frustrated when they arrive trying to hang up their clothes. And this is such a great marketing solution because so often people with disabilities, they run into very frustrating situations, like you've heard today on the phone already. So knowing in advance what to expect can provide a great deal of confidence. And I'm thinking, just imagine a traveler with disabilities being able to fully understand the accessible features at your hotel, and that it allows them to be independent, versus what if they can't get that information at another hotel? Which one do you think they'll choose? They'll choose yours because they have that information. Um, next slide, slide 33. So we can go through these really quick because I just wanted to throw up some pictures here so you can see better of what type of pictures to take around your facility that really provides people with information that will make them confident about arriving and knowing that they'll be able to get there, move around independently, and have a very welcoming, comfortable stay. So we've already mentioned parking can be, it's basically the welcome sign to a business. It's the first thing that somebody will experience. So having a picture of a parking space that has the access aisle and is marked, first you want to make sure that it's marked correctly, but showing what's available is going to be important. Slide 34, the next slide. Here I just say advertise your space. Here's a picture of a lobby. It's got nice hardwood floors, automatic doors. It really looks very appealing for somebody that might have more serious mobility issues, like not opening doors, or maybe has a larger chair or scooter. This is great to see in advance. Slide 35, the next slide. Again, advertise your space. This hotel happens to have a great deal of space in their restaurant between tables. That's very enticing. The next slide. Show off your accessible features. We're talking about marketing, so throw these pictures on your website. Both of these hotels have lowered counters and friendly staff standing behind them, so show that off. Put that picture online. On the next slide, here are just two examples of letting people know that the accessible showers and tubs are there. On the picture on the left, you might notice that there actually is a folding bench in the roll-in shower. It just happens to be on a wall that even when you put that bench down, it would be too far to reach the handle to turn on the water once seated. So a good solution for this, instead of remodeling the entire shower, is to have those transfer benches available that Marion was talking about. And you can put that right in there, and somebody can make it as usable as they need to be. And on the picture to the right, thank you. The picture to the right shows that handheld shower nozzle. And notice that it's been lowered to the very bottom of that bar. A lot of times I've seen in accessible bathrooms the nozzle is there, and that's great, but it's at the very top of the bar where nobody could actually reach it to use it. So that's a good tip for housekeeping staff for an accessible room, is making sure that that handheld nozzle is lowered all the way to the bottom. Okay, next slide. And here's a picture. Somebody would be very happy to see this closet, to know that they have drawers and the iron all within reach, and there's a lowered closet bar there that the hotel has installed. What I'd like to point out here is those features are great, but the hangers are on the top bar, and so they might not be able to reach that. So again, that's an example of housekeeping staff remembering to make sure the hangers are on the bottom bar. And these are all hospitality tips that you can find on either of the websites, so make sure to access those. Slide 39, the next slide. This is just showing a creative way that a hotel has utilized space to make sure that the microwave and the refrigerator coffee maker is within reach here in this accessible room, and so they're showing that off in this picture. On the next slide, here for me, I always love the bathroom in a hotel room where I spend most of my time. So here, knowing that the towel racks are lowered, the hair dryer is lowered, I often see those mounted really high, and the light switch is lowered, there's space under the sink. So that's a very welcoming picture for me. It looks like I'd be very comfortable in that hotel room. The next slide is just showing the space, having that maneuvering space so you can move through the room between the beds. The one on the right, it looks like it might be kind of tight in there, but the furniture is pretty minimal. It looks like you can move that chair around so that wouldn't be too difficult. And like Dawn was mentioning in that top left picture, there's no furniture in front of the blinds, and so somebody could go up there and move the curtains around. Oftentimes, there's big, heavy chairs in front of the window that makes it very hard to approach. So, showing a picture of the room that you've made you know, accessible. That's pretty easy to do. The next slide, 42. I just wanted to point out that on the Blue Path website, we've added a video. It's a funny video, but it's serious, and it has two vignettes, and it's aimed at hotels, at hospitality industry, for serving guests with disabilities. And one scenario involves a young woman using a wheelchair, and this vignette is great for housekeeping staff that might not be English-speaking because it has no dialogue, but it just simply demonstrates a variety of ways to maintain an accessible room so that it stays usable for each guest, like some of the things I've mentioned and making sure that blankets and pillows are located on the bottom shelves and not stored in the top shelves so that people can reach them. And then the second vignette shows hotel staff doing or interacting in a very uncomfortable, unprofessional way with a guest who is blind. And then the video rewinds and shows the correct way to communicate, including how to provide an orientation to the guest room with tips just like Marion mentioned, like cutting one side of a key card or placing a sticker on the do not disturb side of a door hanger if the other side says something different, like housekeeping requested. So Blue Path is a tool that is available now for you to utilize. It has these videos I've mentioned, ADA information, the checklist, and again, since hotels are required now to post pictures and descriptions of their accessible features, Blue Path allows you to do just that and put it right in front of the travelers who will be using those rooms. We're building, just so you know, we're building our membership base here in Washington and Oregon, where we're located in the Northwest ADA Center. And we're starting to expand the program with some new partners in Idaho and Alaska. But as you've seen with some of those travel stats we presented earlier, people with disabilities are traveling across the country, so any hotel could be a magnet for someone traveling from the Pacific Northwest. And we started to see interest in this program growing, and our goal is to grow nationally. So kind of switching gears, have hotels seen success in marketing their accessibility? We do have a great example if you're not already familiar with Microtel Inns, and I think that's the next slide. So this franchise, Microtel Inns, holds very high accessibility standards. They have three designs for accessible rooms, and they also have accessible fitness bags for in-room use, kind of like we showed earlier. And I wanted to just give you some quotes here because I think they're pretty convincing, coming from the CEO of Microtel Inn and Suites. And this is Michael Levin, and he said, "We want to be the preferred chain for travelers with disabilities. I think the ADA is an opportunity, and there is a potentially significant market." And then Roy Flora, who's now the president, he says that they've expanded the effort and capital and are rightfully reaping the rewards. He says that in every company that I've worked with that invests effort in accommodating customers with disabilities, they realize a profit benefit. So as a hotel, when you hear that Microtel prioritized and marketed their accessibility and then see that they reported a 275% increase in ADA room nights over their previous year and that they had net revenues ADA room nights increased by more than 260%, and internet bookings for ADA rooms increased more than 400%. We really hope that this shows you the substantial power of the disability market and the power of marketing your accessibility. The next slide. Again, I'm going to switch gears a little. Thanks for being flexible and moving along with me. But if you're not thinking about, or I'm sorry, if you're not just guests with disabilities, but also think about guests with arthritis in their knees or hearing aids or cataracts, and I'm going to say think about your parents or your grandparents, and have they started talking about not being able to get around like they used to? Or maybe have you started talking about not getting around like you used to? These are interesting facts from the U.S. Census 2006, so it's a bit dated, but still pretty interesting. If you look at that number, 20% of male seniors have two disabilities. And on the next slide, it shows that female seniors have 25% have two disabilities. And on the next slide, maybe you've heard on the news lately about baby boomers, how many baby boomers are aging, and how in just 4 years, nearly half of the U.S. population will be 50 and over. The U.S. Census calculations puts that number to over 70 million baby boomers in just 20 years. So if you consider these figures, it means millions of people will be needing accessible features because aging will simply cause some infirmities and disabilities. But as we know about baby boomers, it's not going to slow down this generation. But wait, we've been talking about marketing, and now you have to do all this online marketing and posting pictures on websites. But old people aren't online, right? Next slide. Well, I Googled baby boomer marketing, and you can get all kinds of stats because marketers are starting to realize how huge this customer group is and how much they're worth. So take a look at these facts here. The stats show that seniors now make up 20% of online users and that the over 50 crowd are internet savvy and are now the web's largest market. So they are online, they're making purchasing and travel decisions online, and you want as much information out there on your website to entice them to be your guest and allow them to complete the entire decision-making and reservation process online or even on their mobile device. So this is definitely a trend, and it's only growing. On the next slide, and that's actually a phrase that I heard on the news the other day, the silver tsunami, which is...
It's Bill Monkey song, here we come.
It's a pretty good example, given that marketers are realizing that this is coming in a big wave here. 10 years ago, it says that the 50-plus age group controlled 67% of the country's wealth. So I'm sure that number is only larger now and growing. It says here nearly 100% of baby boomers are plugged in. They're tuned in, and they are active marketing and on social networks, and they're talking about products and brands important to them. And so if 42% of travel purchases happen online, make sure your product and your brand is displayed online, your accessible rooms, your hotel amenities, and market your accessibility alongside your brand and make the connection for people. And I'm just suggesting that the Blue Path Number logo would be a great thing to have on your website. On the next slide, 49, Will these baby boomers who are aging, will they engage on your brand online? This is a question that was asked on this website I saw, immersionactive.com. And this was a book they wrote, Dot Boom. And these are headlines that I saw. And I love the tweeting grannies and gramps outpace social whippersnappers. And I know I have aunts and uncles that are on Facebook, So this is all information to pay attention to. And they stress on here, these marketers, position your brand to meaningfully engage baby boomers online and produce results reflective of the web's largest, wealthiest, and most underserved consumer group. Then on the next slide, this is another term I've heard recently, the graying of America. It says that more than 100 million strong baby boomers and older customers born before 1965 are the single largest consumer group in America. They are the wealthiest, best educated, and most sophisticated of purchasers. With more disposable income than any population in America, they are, in fact, the new customer majority. So this new customer majority is aging and will naturally have age-related disabilities. And the market out there, hotels, retail stores, the websites, everything is going to be changing to more of a universal design and meeting the needs of these folks. On the next slide, 51, this is just an example of a screenshot that I pulled off of the AARP website. They have an article, Flying Tips for Wheelchair Users, so they know their audience and the issues that they face when traveling. And then on the next slide, just to give you an idea, There are dozens of books and websites and blogs that are dedicated to the growing number of people with disabilities that are traveling because technology has provided more opportunity and society just demands independence and equal opportunity. So check out some of these websites, see what information is being discussed, and notice that there are books being written, and you make sure that you are marketing to these types of websites and make sure that you are on these lists. The next slide, 53, just for more information, SAF is the Society for Accessible Travel, and notice here that they reported that they saw their members' hotel bookings more than double last year, even though we were in a recession. So again, just they're out there traveling. So the next slide, 54, I think is the last slide. So I want to leave you with the most recent article that we've come across in National Geographic Traveler. This was in the September 2011 issue. And I encourage you to read the entire article. It has a lot of good information. It looks like I forgot to put the link on this slide, but you can find the link on our website if you look in the Twitter feed. But anyways, this journalist interviewed Dr. Scott Raines, and he writes a blog called The Rolling Raines Report, and they discuss travel, disability, universal design, and something really cool called inclusive tourism. And this is just a final comment about the importance of the disability and aging market. And we'll just close it by saying, boomers, many of whom came of age holding a protest sign, are joining forces with disability and senior groups to add muscle to the cause of increased accessibility and travel. They don't intend to let hip replacements and insulin shots stop them from traveling, nor will they be pandered to, stigmatized, or written off. So that's the last slide for us. So hopefully I left a few minutes for questions.
Thank you, Sarah. The next slide will show you how you can bookmark ADA Hospitality, where you will find the article by Scott Raines on National Geographic Traveler, how to link to Blue Path, and how to get a hold of your local ADA center. We do have just a couple more minutes for questions, so if you have one you'd like to enter in the chat room, please do so. Operator, could you give us instructions one last time?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone telephone. Our first question comes from Bart Flory. Your line is open.
Right. Yeah, I was just interested in the website and how I could become more active in it. I'm in the Southeast region.
Well, as I said, there are trainings that you can download and become proficient in, and then talk to your local restaurants, hotels, about offering to provide training. You can also contact your local ADA center by calling 1-800-949-4232 and talk with them about ways that you can become better educated. Going on to the ADA Hospitality website and looking at all the tools and resources, checking out Blue Path's website and checking out those resources as well, would be a great way to become fully educated about the new regulations, about how to market to businesses, your ability to assist them in marketing to people with disabilities would be a very good first start.
All right. I'm at the website now, and I think I'll follow through on it.
Terrific. Thank you.
I also wanted to add that on the Blue Path website, there is a way for people to register as a pathfinder. And a pathfinder is somebody that can go in and you log in, and you're able to write reviews about Blue Path's member businesses. But also you can nominate businesses, and that's a really good way for us to be able to contact a business and say, you've been nominated by one of your customers that thinks that you're a great, you know, accessible business. Why don't you consider being on this website? Or it gives us a chance to say, somebody wasn't able to come in and spend their money at your business. Here's a tool that you can use to improve your accessibility. So go and check out Blue Path and become a Pathfinder and see if that interests you in a way to engage with us that way.
Okay, well, unfortunately, this concludes today's ADA audio conference program. We realize that many of you may still have questions for our presenters, and I apologize if you did not get a chance to ask your question. Our contact information was on one of those slides, so please feel free to connect with us. We're both at the Region 10 and the Region 3 ADA centers, or please call your local ADA center, 1-800-949-4232. I'd like to present, or would like to thank Don and Sarah for their presentation today. I think it sounds like you learned a lot from your from the program, and I hope that you will act on it. A reminder that the digital recording today's session, as well as a written transcript, will be available for viewing and download on the ADA-audio website within the next business days, 10 business days. Please join us for the next session. You'll see it up on the screen, ADA Case Law, and the new 2011-2012 schedule will be up shortly. We look forward to having you join us for the next series of sessions. And please have a good day.